The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
We're back. Michael Bisping, back from Mexico. Luis J. Gomez, back from Nashville, Tennessee, y'all. What's up, baby boy?
That's right. I am back. I am back from Mexico, Luis. You know, listen, I'll be honest. I've never been to Mexico City before. I've watched the news. I hear people say, oh, Mexico, it's a bad place. It's a dangerous place. Don't go there. Be careful. It's very dangerous. I went down in... Oh, go away. You know, but I'll be honest. It's bullshit, man. Mexico's a great place. I went down there. I had a whale of a time. Mexico City is a great city, right? People were like, it's very dangerous. I remember one day I went down into like the main part on Friday. I had a few hours to myself. And I thought, you know what? No, I'm going to go and I'm going to go check this place out. I'm going to get out of the hotel. And as I was leaving, UFC security were like, Mike, are you okay? You need an escort? I'm like, no, I don't need an escort. Jesus Christ. There's millions of people walking around. They all don't have escorts. I'll be good. And they're like, listen, but kidnapping is a real thing here, Michael. And people know the UFC's in town and you were pretty big in the UFC at one point. You could get kidnapped. I'm like, well, don't fucking say that. Now I am a little concerned, but I got to say, great city, Luis. Can't recommend it highly enough.
I feel like people pick and choose their targets. I don't give a shit who you are. You know, it's like, I just feel like, what are they going to do? They're going to kidnap you? Your wife doesn't make any money. What is she going to do? It's like they're kidnapping the moneymaker. They'd be better off kidnapping your daughter or your son. That's the way to do it. You do like Taken. You know what I'm saying? Like Ellie will be home. Then all of a sudden you get a phone call. Like, Dad, there's someone in the house. You'd be like, Ellie, listen to me. Just tell me the five things you see right now. She gets dragged. And then you have to call them up and be like, listen, I've got a series of skills that whatever Liam Neeson said in that movie.
Well, I do have a very particular set of skills, and I will find you, and I will kill you. But the problem is, that'll be after Rebecca, like, got me released. She does have access to the bank account, Luis. And you know, regardless of how dumb these criminals are, they know that the wife can access the money and wire it through. Now, as soon as I get out, baby boy, that's when the real shit hits the fan. That's when I go full taken on these motherfuckers, right? Jeremy Stephens, Yair Rodriguez ain't got shit on the hell I will bring down on these motherfuckers.
I'm just saying, if you're going to try to make money off the Bisping family, I'm not giving any ideas to any haters out there, because maybe we have some fans that would try to do this. Don't do this. But if you're trying to make money off the Bisping clan, kidnapping Michael Bisping and trying to get them to pay for him back is the stupidest fucking plan. You're probably going to get into a physical altercation. It's going to be a whole to-do. His daughter is weak as shit. I've seen her. She's 100 pounds soaking wet. You could take her out of that house. I'm talking about like that.
Oh, easily. One slap. Done. She's done. She's out. Rebecca, she doesn't go to the gym, right? She's given up on life. I'm like, babe, you need to get to the gym. She doesn't do that anymore. Quite frankly, she's making me sick. Lucas, 9 years old. One swift kick, as if you're kicking a soccer ball. Boom.
Lucas would just go with them. If you just say, hey, Lucas, come hang out with me. Like, you know what? Fuck this place. I'm out.
Where are we going? That sounds awesome. And Callum's in San Francisco. So that's it. If you want to come and take over our house, go ahead. You've got no resistance. What I want to know is that what is wrong with me? Why am I actually physically getting worked up over this imaginary kidnapping situation?
Because it is scary. I mean, you know, the idea of that happening, I never really gave a shit about those movies until you have a kid and you're like, whoa, what would you do? You, like, your daughter calls you, because the reality is, Bisping, you don't actually have a particular set of skills. You're just a fighter.
What would be your first step? Stop. You speak for yourself. I do have a particular set of skills. My skills are They include, there's so many to go through, okay? All I want you to know is I could get my daughter back.
The kidnapper would have to show up at a specific place, get into a cage. You guys would agree to fight. It's not going to happen. What would be your first step? You get a phone call from your daughter. Dad, they're taking me right now. Please help. What would be your first step?
Okay, I would call some of my friends in the intelligence place, okay? In the I've got some very connected friends.
The intelligence place.
I get them to track. Well, MI6, motherfucker, okay? MI6. I got contacts at MI6. I'm just throwing it out there. I would track that. Well, you're laughing, baby boy, let me tell you. I'd call them. I'd be like, listen, we need to track this phone call, okay? Then I'd be on the next plane, okay? I would land at the location. I'd call my other contacts. My arms dealer, okay? He would bring me the said equipment, the knives, the ammo, the ammunition, okay? I'd be strapped up and ready to go, ready to kill some people, doggy.
You couldn't even say the sentence clearly.
This is the stupidest start to a podcast ever.
You'd be crying like a baby on the phone with the local LAPD. Be like, my baby, she's gone. That's what would happen.
Whoa. Listen, I resent this picture that you are portraying of me, that you're painting of me. Okay, some crying fool that has no way of getting his daughter back. Flip side. I decide to kidnap James, but you don't know it's me. Somebody kidnaps James. What would you do, Mr. Big Shot with all the answers?
I would enjoy the time off. Relax. Play a little bit of Fortnite. Maybe get a hooker. Why not, right? YOLO.
No, but if you wanted to get your son back, you know, what would be your first move? You'd call the cops.
I would call the cops, obviously. I remember one time my son, when he was like 6 months old, he just, for no reason, stopped breathing. Like, whatever it was, he, like, must have, like, spit up or whatever. I looked at his face in my hands. Like, his face completely choked up. It turned bright red. And I was like, holy shit.
And you were like, if he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. I did all Rocky impressions. I did my Clubber Lang. I did Ivan Drago. All the bad guys. Didn't matter. I froze. That's what I did. I literally froze looking at my child as he looked up at me, and it was I'll never forget it. The feeling of his face being so helpless, and it wasn't even like my mind didn't even register calling 911 because that was like, I couldn't connect the idea of getting on the phone, stopping holding him, right? Putting the phone down, calling them, having them come there from the hospital to my apartment to pick him up. In my mind, he's dead already. Like, he's not going to last that long. He's fucking choking to death. So I literally freaked out. I almost started crying, and I almost started hyperventilating. I had a friend
Hold on. You didn't think to give him the Heimlich maneuver. You didn't think to get your fingers and stick him down the mouth and try and scoop out what he was choking on.
No.
You didn't think to give him chest compressions. You just stood there freaking out. I mean, you are useless. Out.
I started swinging him around by his leg. Yeah. No, I did
it's
nothing.
It's the Heimlich there, you know, get from behind, give him a good old squeeze.
Well, you know what it was? It didn't even, the reality, it seemed like 10 minutes when the reality was it was 2 seconds. It was literally 2 seconds. In that 2 seconds, my buddy calls 911 and my son just starts breathing again normally in 2 seconds. And I was like, oh shit. But then 911 had, the ambulance had to come. They had to take him to the hospital. It was a whole, thing. But it was one of the most horrifying things in the world to feel that helpless and not to be able to do anything in that moment and just to sort of freeze up. I'll never forget that feeling. So, yeah, I don't know, dude. If something like that happened to my kid, I think I just, freak out. I have no idea what to do in that scenario.
Yeah, the reality is that you'd call the police because, they're very smart. They have a lot of people. They have intelligence. They have computers. They have tracking systems. They can track the phone, all types of things. So that would be the first call. I call the authorities. I call the police.
But they have no emotion. That's the problem.
Yeah, but let me tell you, I do know some people. I know a few people who know some people that kill some people. Okay? So I give them a call and I'm like, hey, we got to get Callum back. In fact, no, keep Callum. We got to get Ellie back, okay? Callum's off to San Francisco. He's on his own now, okay? He doesn't get to use my extensive line of network, okay? But Ellie, let's get her back. Anyway, down in Mexico, didn't get kidnapped, didn't get murdered. Excellent fights. Some terrific fights at the weekend. Unfortunately, we all know what happened with the main event. We're going to get into that later, pardon me. Just want to touch on this real quick. I came home last night, flew back, Aeromexico. I had reservations about Aeromexico for some reason. Very, very good airline. The food was good. The service was good. Very nice people. Watched the Emmys when I got in, got through immigration, drove home. I sat down, watched the Emmys. 27 Emmys handed out, Lewis. You know, terrific prize. I mean, if you're in TV, film, that type of thing, I mean, to win an Emmy is crazy, especially over here in Los Angeles, you know, because we all know it's dominated by America. You know, they dominate Hollywood. It's in Los Angeles. 27 Emmys handed out. 16 of them went to British people, Lewis.
Wow.
British people. You know, wow. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there, bud. You know, we're taking over.
Yeah. I didn't watch the Emmys because I'm not a homosexual, but that's cool that you spent your night watching a fucking award show. I hate award shows.
No.
More good. Take all the Emmys, Britain, because it sucks. It is the worst.
They do.
It is a whole night of the richest, most entitled people in the world sucking each other's dicks. When they give the speeches, they do them. It's so self-important and so, like, it's so cringy. I can't watch it anymore. I'll watch the next day. It's like, oh, if I see a TV show that I like got an Emmy, I'm like, cool, great. But I don't know. I don't ever support these award shows. They suck. And to be honest with you, ever since we've been snubbed multiple years in a row, BYM podcast, I've been snubbed multiple years in a row by the MMA awards. So I'm sort of soured on the award show process in general.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, I'm not one to sit around watching very privileged people, you know, getting more privileged and patting themselves on the back. But my wife had it on. She wanted to watch it. She likes all the fashion. She wants to see what the women are wearing. You know, that's why she watches it. And that's why it was on. And you're right. Some of the award acceptance speeches, I got to say, they kind of make you want to throw up. I'm not going to go into details because in this day and age, right, you can't have an opinion. You're not allowed to say anything remotely negative. And a lot of those people out there, it's just like they were throwing out key buzzwords. Okay, I'm not going to go into detail, but anything that's on trend, on topic right now, they're throwing it out there, you know, and it gets a pop from the crowd, you know. No raping people, way, you know. No paying women less, yes. You know, and I could go on and on and on, but I will offend some people. And they just threw out all the buzzwords, you know. It's like, come on, shut up. You're the most privileged white person ever, sitting up there in your $10,000 Versace dress with $100,000 in diamonds around your neck, but yet you're going to give a speech about the suffering around the world. Come on, give me a break.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, literally, these people, they spend millions and millions of dollars on the most ridiculous things, and they use these keywords and these philosophies and these big things that are happening and these social issues. They use it as currency to get you to like them more. And if you don't see that and you don't go like, oh, wow, you're a phony, it offends me. It offends me when companies do that, right? So when Gillette had that commercial where it's like, be a better man, you know? Or even like during Pride Month when companies will put out a Pride commercial or somebody will put a Pride flag in their window. I it's not that I don't support Pride, because I really do. I really do support gay rights, but it's don't
yeah,
do
be
it
careful,
just.
Luke, be careful.
I'm telling
you, starting to leave. Hey, listen, you got to be careful, buddy, in this modern day and age. Watch what you're saying.
No, you're going to agree with me. You're going to 100% agree with me. So for them to put a flag in their window and use that as currency to get people to go, look, they support. They're just trying to get you to come in their bar and buy a drink. Don't be a fucking phony. Don't be a fool, okay? All that is marketing. And if you fall for that, they're using the plight of others to profit. They're using the plight of others, unless they're specifically, it's a benefit or they're giving a certain amount of profits during that time, then I understand it. But if they're just putting a flag in the window so you go, oh, they support gay rights, now I'm going to go in there, they're way worse than the person who doesn't put the flag in the window.
I find it embarrassing.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I mean, listen, of course, you know, it's number one, it's a very cynical view that you have there. And yeah, maybe there is some people that do that. Some people, you know, try and exploit everything. But also, what about the people that actually do support them and they're actually, for the right reason, sticking a flag in the window saying you are more than welcome to come in here, enjoy yourself, drink, be merry, have fun. This is an establishment for you, you know? Maybe it's just as simple as that, Lewis. You know, maybe there's not some big, you know, devious scheme at hand.
Did you hear
maybe
they're just saying, he said, hey, come on in here, be a Mary. That's fucked up. You can't call them Marys, okay? That's ridiculous.
Be merry. Right. Be merry. Drink.
I agree with
and
you, Mike.
Be a Mary. I did not say that. How dare you? I literally putting words in my mouth. Anyway,
Mike, let's really quickly, let's talk about Monday.com, which is such an amazing company. We love Monday. It's making my life that much easier. If you don't know what Monday.com is, it is a project management tool that makes it so easy to work with multiple people on multiple projects at the same time. We use it here at Gas Digital. I use it for my comedy career. My manager's on it. My agent's on it. I have literally Shannon links in my entire schedule here. My manager can go and check out the schedule. They all cross-reference everything. There's accountability. So if you're assigning tasks to people on your team, you can see at what point they are in the process of completing that task. Really, really intuitive program. So easy to use. Takes just minutes to set up. I know, Bisping, you started using it for all of your acting and TV stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, listen, for example, when I'm commentating a UFC event, they send over bios, they send over all this information, they send over audio files on how to say the fighters' names and all these different fights and things like that. They provide us with a lot of research, but they're on all these different emails, okay, from different people. And when you're trying to find them, when they sent it to you weeks ago, it can be difficult. But now with Monday.com, keep it all super organized. I have all my acting stuff there, all my audition stuff there, all my UFC audio files, fights, whatever it is. It's so easy now. So guys, I cannot recommend this highly enough. If you've got a busy life that you want to make easier, we have a fantastic offer for you.
Yeah, if you go to monday.com/believe, B-L-E-I-E-V-E, you know how you spell believe, we're going to give you a 14-day free trial, okay? Just try it out. See if you like it. You don't have to keep the service. If you have a team of 2 people, if you have a team of 1,000 people, this is going to make you getting your work done that much easier, that much more organized, that much more efficient. monday.com/believe. Get that 14-day free trial and, yeah, make your life that much easier. All right, where were we?
Oh, yeah, listen, crazy events at the weekend down in Mexico City. Some fantastic fights. A lot of people, there was a few people making their debut. There were some, the undercard had some terrific fights on. Main card was going really well. The co-main event, Carla Esparza taking on Alexa Grasso. I know you didn't watch the fights, Lewis. We'll get into them later. But the number one talking point, we have to start at this, would be the craziness that went down for the main event. Of course, we had Jeremy Stephens taking on Yair Rodriguez in Mexico City. Jeremy Stephens was down there for 6 weeks, living amongst the Mexican people. You know, he was at a place called Zacatecas, which is like some kind of training camp, very, very high up there. He was training with a bunch of other fighters from Alliance, some local Mexican fighters there as well, and put his heart and soul into this training camp, right? Yeah, Rodriguez, similar thing. He was down there for a long time as well. Fight starts. Well, it doesn't even really start. They come out. The crowd are going crazy for it, right? They got one of their own. Yair Rodriguez and Jeremy Stephens, I believe, has some Mexican heritage as well. And, you know, and listen, the Mexican people, they love to fight. But I will say this. The co-main event had Alexa Grasso. She was all over the TV in Mexico this week, by the way. So her star's really rising in her home country. And she had a tough fight with Carla Esparza. Now, Carla Esparza got the decision. It was a close fight, right? But a lot of the Mexicans obviously thought that Grasso should have won. So they were already pissed. They booed so loudly. So loud, in fact, that when we were doing the post-fight interview, the translator couldn't hear the noise through the microphone, and neither could Esparza. I asked her Esparza a question, and she couldn't hear what I said. And then when Esparza gave her answer, the translator couldn't hear what she said. That's how loud they were booing. Now, the point of all this is to say, you know, the crowd, they were at boiling point. They were ready. You know, they were looking for a fight, shall we say. You know, they were looking for a bit of action. They had plenty of Modelos, probably a bit of tequila, you know what I mean? And they were ready for some action.
Is that a regular occurrence when you, like, it's soccer matches or at other sports that happen in Mexico, baseball games? Is that a regular occurrence when they're unhappy? Are they throwing? Because you see that a lot. You know, I think it's more common out of the U.S. than in the U.S. I think, you know, they'll just, you know, they'll start the Olé chant and they start pelting things at the athletes. When we see it here, it seems like it's a riot that's about to happen. What type of sense did you get? Did it feel like real danger in the arena?
Well, I was building up to it and you just totally just jumped to the, you know, you just cut me off. I was like building up to the point I was going to say and this happened and then all hell broke loose. But you just fast forwarded. So now let's talk about the riot. You son of a bitch. So anyway, so the fight starts and they go out and they didn't even engage, right? And Yair Rodriguez, I don't believe there was a single punch landed yet. And Yair puts his hand out and it's a shame, right? But it kind of swiped over his eye and downward motion and it didn't look bad. But what I'm assuming happened was because it was the end of the finger and it was a swiping down motion, his fingernail scratched the cornea, which, let me tell you, I've been there. It hurts like a bitch. The fight stopped. And Herb Dean did everything he could to keep the fight going. They had the full 5 minutes. I got to say, Herb Dean was taking control of that situation and really doing everything he could for the fight to continue. But Jeremy, you know, after the doctor looked at him, they had to call it off. And that's when it all kicked off. And yeah, to be honest, I think when you see that at a UFC event, it is surprising. We don't see that very often, you know, but it wasn't a riot as such. And I think when you put it all into perspective, I mean, listen, it was terrible behavior. Of course it was. I'm not justifying the behavior. I understand that they're all pissed off. They've all spent a lot of money. Some people have flown in from other countries. You got to do hotels, flights, food. You got to buy the tickets. And then in their opinion, they're robbed of the main event fight.
And they love him, you know, because it's like a home, you know, Mexican fighter, hometown hero, the emotion that's involved. It's different. It's just a little bit different. We've talked about this plenty of times on the show where I feel like Americans they're just not as like emotional about it. They're not as passionate. They're not getting behind the American fighter the same way that other countries get behind their fighters from that country. They really don't.
You could just say they're better behaved. You could say that.
I'm saying that Mexicans are animals. I didn't want to say it, but you said it first, Bisping. All right. What do you want to say?
They do it in England. Same thing. I was going to say, you know, I mean, because as we saw, I mean, have we got Harrington, can you play the video of Jeremy Stephens leaving the arena? Because it's pretty bad if you can.
And
bring
also,
that up
side note, they were throwing drinks at Carlos Esparza as well.
Oh, that's right, because apparently when Carla Esparza, I haven't seen the footage, but when she walked out, one guy poured a full beer over her head, which is, listen,
fuck
whoever
you,
did
dude.
That, you're an
fuck you, dude. You deserve to get your ass beat. Fuck you, dude. I don't give a shit. First of all, it's a chick. I don't give a shit she's a fighter. She could probably beat your fucking ass with ease, okay? But regardless, at what point do we lose the sense of just, maybe I'm old school, I'm 37 years old, I would never pour a drink over a fucking woman's head for fighting her heart out and for trying and then for winning a fight. It's not her fault that the judges gave her and you guys disagree. For somebody to go through that, you don't know this girl at all. You're physically assaulting a chick at that point. You know, she didn't do, it's really just a shitty, shitty thing to do. And I, you know, that guy, I literally hope somebody punched him in his fucking head.
Yeah. Look at this here. Here's Jeremy Stephens leaving. And look at them all. I mean, look at the cups, the beers flying everywhere, probably some bottles. I mean, it's a total mess. You know, I mean, yeah, you're right. They should be ashamed of themselves. At the end of the day, I mean, some of them were throwing bottles. Some of them were throwing drinks, right? I don't think anyone was going to get too hurt, but it was just a bit of beer. It wasn't too bad. It's not like they actually started a riot, but you're absolutely right. Doing that to Carla Esparza, right? It's disgusting. Because as you said, number one, it's a chick, right? It's a girl. So you shouldn't do that. I mean, what kind of self-respecting man, you know, behaves themselves like that? It's disgusting. Secondly, she's just been in the bloody octagon. She's fought her ass out,
put her heart out.
Put her life on the line. And it was a great fight. It was a tough fight, right? In the third round, she got rocked a lot. She showed a lot of heart, right? And she's not responsible for the scorecards. She's not responsible for the scorecards. So as she's leaving the arena, you decide to grab a bottle of beer or a pint of beer and throw it over her head. I mean, shame on that person. And I'm not even going to give them the shame bell because that's more of a comedy thing, right? Yeah. It's a legit shame. A legit go fuck yourself to the guy that did that.
Yeah, fuck that guy. And I mean, obviously it's a shame when fights end that way, but luckily, nobody was hurt. They could have thrown worse things. It's Mexico, you know. Could have been thrown.
Oh,
fucking,
yeah.
Funny Mexican pinatas, things. Burritos.
Pinatas.
Babies.
I'm starving. If somebody would have thrown a burrito, I'd have been happy. Right? Now, listen, Brendan Fitzgerald got under the desk because he didn't want to get wet. Right? And I like weirdly started shadow boxing. I don't know why I started doing that. I was like, okay, it's going to go off, is it? All right, well, I'm here, baby boy. And the whole time, Brendan, being the polished TV professional that he is, he carried on commentating the whole way. And I joined in a little bit when I realized, hold on a minute, it was still on air.
What happened?
Then I had to go in and interview Yair Rodriguez.
Right.
Unfortunately, Jeremy had left. And as we saw here, the crowd pelted him with drinks and bottles and glasses, and which sucks. You know, it wasn't Jeremy's fault. It was not Jeremy's fault. But I had to go in. Yair Rodriguez was there. And we've got to close out the show. So I go in and I go to approach him. And Harrington, have we got the tape of this ready? So I'm going in and I go to approach him and I put my hand on his shoulder, you know, just to get his attention. Roll the tape. Let's take a look at this here. Sound. We have no sound.
Let's see.
Hold on.
Close by to Yair Rodriguez.
Anota esta pinche mierda, el puto.
He was very upset.
Now, okay, that'll do. I don't speak Spanish, but I recognize the word puta. If I'm not mistaken, it means bitch puta. Or whore or something like that. Come on, you're Puerto Rican. Break it down for me, Luis. I mean, yeah. You're Puerto Rican, buddy. Give us the Luis J. Gomez translation.
Well, first of all, I don't speak Spanish. We did have a fan that hit us up. Who is this? Chloe something, right? I recognize her picture. I forget. Harrington, if somebody gives me something from now on, make sure you include their name so I can give them credit for it. Okay? So she broke down the translation to what Yair said, which was Uma punta pinche mierda puto. Which I guess Uma means blink, punta means bastard, pinche means fucking, mierda means shit, and puto means gay male prostitute or a coward or a traitor. So he was essentially saying blink, bastard, fucking, shit, gay male prostitute.
Well, listen, whichever way you slice it, that's not good. whichever way you slice it, he was not giving me a compliment. Now, here's the thing. Listen, he was in the moment. He was very, very upset. He called me a gay male prostitute that should stop blinking at him. Okay? I wasn't blinking at him. I also have an eye condition, okay? I have a spazzy eye, and if it's going to blink at you all night long, I'm very sorry, okay? But what you should be concerned about is Jeremy Stevens. No, listen. Yeah, he was pissed. He wanted to fight.
What happened
he wanted to
there?
Fight just like. Well, I went up to him and I tried to talk to him, and he probably didn't know it was me. Maybe he did know it was me. I don't know. But he was pissed. He was in the moment. He was upset. He was close to tears. You know, you leave a piece of yourself in every training camp. You really do. You know, you push yourself so hard and you push yourself to the limit and you work out every single day and you spend time away from your family, from your friends. You miss out on social events, right? And it all comes down to one night. And if you get it wrong and you lose that fight, it's all been for nothing. But if something like this happens, I mean, it's so frustrating because it's so stupid. It's so dumb. You know, the fight didn't even start, you know, and yeah, he was pissed. He's probably mad at himself. Mad at Jeremy. I think at that moment in time, he thought that Jeremy was faking it, which, as we know, is not the case. And he just, you know, he just snapped. But it's okay, because you know me. I mean, listen, I'm super cool, calm, collected type of guy. For me, it's just water off a duck's back. You know, I'm like, yeah.
You didn't even flinch. Show it again. I would love to watch it again. Bisping didn't even flinch. It's very funny that you literally just were like, all right, well, we're here. Let's see. Right here. You know, did you put your hand on his shoulder to let him know that you're the alpha and you're not going to let him out alpha you in the ring at that moment?
Listen, we've got Jeremy Stevens on later. We've got Brendan Fitzgerald on later, calling in, giving us their time, right? This may be watched by more people. Don't try and get me to talk shit about Yair Rodriguez, okay?
He called you a gay male prostitute to your face. Your son's watching in San Francisco right now. He's having weird issues anyway because there's gay male prostitutes everywhere. So he's like, wait, what's going on here? Your 9-year-old son's going to eventually see that. So at what point, you know...
I'm more concerned about the blinking accusation, okay? I'm like, listen, I know I have an eye condition. Yes, I've been a gay male prostitute on occasion. Why are you going to tell the world, okay? But you're crossing the line with the blinking. listen, it is what it is. I mean, I'll be honest, though. At that moment in time, because he did spit fire with pure venom, I thought, is he going to swing on me? But of course, you couldn't see it from my cool, calm exterior. It's just another day at the office. That's how, yeah. You know, I put myself in the firing line, Lewis, and I do it for the fans. I do it for the UFC. I do it for the people at home. I'm just willing to do that. I'm willing to step in there to get the, you know, to ask the questions that need to be asked, to put myself in the line of danger. And I don't get paid any extra for that, but that's what I'll do for the people.
You're a man of the people. Michael Bisping said it best.
Yeah. So... All right, guys, let's just take a quick second to hear about Keeps. What's the one thing you want to keep, Lewis, if you had it already? It would be her. A lot of people in this world, you know, I hate to bring up a sore subject. I do. You've lost it. You've gone. You know, you're one of them. You're a bold person, okay? If you're one of those people right now and you got a little bit of, you know, a little thinning on top, you got a little bold patch emerging, well, you want to keep hold of what you have, okay? Let me tell you, 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they are 35. Not me, though. Not me. But you want to know the good news? With today's enhancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. You used to have to go to a doctor's office for hair loss prescription, but now thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get medication delivered to your home. No waiting rooms, no pharmacy checkout lines. Get doctor attention and discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort of your own home. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments really work. They are up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. So act fast, men. Many men even experience hair regrowth. That's right. Lewis, here you go, baby boy. The hair can grow back. Listen.
I actually just rubbed it. I rubbed it above my lip. That's what I did for this. That's how effective it is. I just went zoop, 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 and I was like, holy shit, this is magic.
Well, it's certainly working. And find out why Keeps has more five-star reviews than any other of its competitors. Listen, as always, we mess around. But seriously, check it out. This has more five-star reviews than any other hair loss product. Okay, so check it out. Now, of course, we always have a great deal for you, Lewis. Why don't you tell the good people?
So right now, if you guys go to keeps.com/believe, that is KEEPS.com/believe, you get your first month of treatment absolutely free. That is keeps.com/believe. Once again, that is KEEPS.com/believe. Get that first month for free. Get your hair back. Get your groove back. Get your confidence back. This is it, baby boys. Go and check out Keeps. All right, where were we?
This seems like a good time. Without further ado, Jeremy Stevens is going to call in. So I reckon, should we get Jeremy on the phone and or on the video, on the VMix, and let's hear from the man himself.
All right, let's get Jeremy. I'll take this moment real quick before we bring Jeremy on. Take a moment, go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. Let your friends know about the podcast. That's the best thing you can do. Before you do anything else, before you subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, Gas Digital, or anything, just tell some friends about the show. We've been growing exponentially. I believe we've exceeded 50,000 subscribers on YouTube now. So thank you for all of our YouTube fans. We love you, motherfuckers. Also, if you love the show, every episode is available on demand at your fingertips. Everything since episode one at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM. Get a 14-day free trial. All right, we have Jeremy Stevens on the line right now.
All right, joining us on the Believe You Me podcast for the first time ever is one of the original, one of the baddest motherfuckers in the game, Jeremy Stevens. Jeremy, thank you for joining us. I know it was a disappointing, frustrating weekend for you. How are you feeling? What are the emotions? What's on your mind?
I feel good. You know, I don't want to keep attached to anything that happened. I just want to move forward. I want to get into a fight and perform and get the money that I normally get. So I'm looking forward to getting right back in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you touched on something there. Sorry, Lewis. You said about money. I'm assuming you only got your show money, right? Correct? Because obviously the fight ended, but you would have got your show money, I'm assuming.
Yeah, just get my show money, you know, and then, you know, that's not including, you know, I got to pay my team and you know, pay taxes plus, you know, the money that I spent leading up into camp. So, you know, it's not the way that I intend or ever plan on going out like that. So, you know, I'm going later to the doctor today, get a second opinion over here on this side of the soil in the States and getting right back in there and bouncing right back.
Yeah, you know, obviously you get a lot of flack from the fans in Mexico. They were very upset. Their main event gets cut short. For them to be upset, you almost give them a pass. What do you say to some of the fighters that have kind of come out and talked shit? I know there was a couple guys that were sort of, you know, just kind of talking crap online about your, you know, you not having, who was the guy who said that you shouldn't be in the UFC? What was the gentleman's name? There was a couple guys that were out there, but what do you say to those guys that are kind of trash talking you that are fighters?
I probably make more money than you, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, well, honestly, Lewis, I haven't seen that. I mean, this is the thing that I was... Go ahead.
I mean, what am I supposed to say to that? You know, people that are entitled to their own opinion. You know, you weren't in there. Listen, I've been in there with a broken orbital versus Cerrone. It's a lot different when you get a scratch and a poke in the eye, in both eyes. So, you know, they're not in there. They don't feel what I feel. They didn't experience that. And that's not the way that I go out, you know. I fought the best of the best. I've been down there in hostile countries. It's just a freak thing. I don't blame you here. I've poked people in the eye before. It's just it happens, man. It's part of the sports, the gloves, you know. But you're not supposed to open your hands. You know, that's it's a big no-no, and unfortunately it happened. So what can I do if people are going to have their opinion? They're entitled to it. It means nothing. It affects me.
Yeah, well, I said Saturday night, I mean, I said on the commentary, there's no way you, after the amount of fights you've had, you know, that you're going to pull something like that. You went down there, you lived in Mexico for 6 weeks, you spent $30,000 on your training camp, and it's not like, you know, you were getting your ass kicked and you were looking for a way out. The fight hadn't even started. Now, I know Yair made a couple of comments afterwards. What are your thoughts towards Yair right now? I know you want to fight him, but what do you think of his remarks afterwards?
Well, like I said, the fight didn't even start, you know, and I got into a little scuffle with him down the hotel lobby, you know, and I shoved him back, and he didn't even make a move forward. Him and his whole family are kind of soft, you know. You don't come from the streets, bro. I thought you were going to come over cordial, shake my hand, and say, let's run it back. But, you know, from what I hear in the interviews, you know, it doesn't sound like he wants to fight me. I know he's nervous. He acted like he had won the fight, you know. It's those are nerves, because you know that you have to fight me. You know, like, you might be skilled more than me, but you have to fight me and have to fight me for 25 minutes. So why not run it back? And if you're talking, like, let's run it back over here on American soil in the greatest American places. Boston, MSG, and D.C., those are all coming up. I took a trip away from my anniversaries today. You know, I'm supposed to be in Dublin supporting a friend, going to Rome, Paris. I chose to come back here to make sure that my eye is 100% and that I can get right back in there and turn it around. And if you want to keep talking, let's fight. If not, shut up, get out of my way. I'm going to continue to scrap regardless. I'll fight on all those cards that I mentioned, either versus Yair or, you know, get out of the way, and I'll fight somebody else. Doesn't matter. This is the fight business. I'm here to fight and show up.
So you went down to Mexico to train. What was it like training 6 weeks at altitude? Obviously, it's a shame, but overall, do you kind of look at the training camp maybe as being a positive? Is there anything you kind of pull from it that was a positive outcome?
Oh, yeah. It was an amazing experience. You know, regardless of what happened that night in Mexico City, I get it. The fans, you pay, you know, especially Mexican people, they work their ass off to make something happen. They want to see a fight, you know, and I totally get that. And, you know, it was wild the way that it turned out. I don't blame them. Trust me. I've been there. I've seen weird shit happen, but I'm not going to take away from the amazing experience that I had in Zacatecas going down there. I chose to go down there. I chose to spend money. Most fighters, like guys like the Brian Ortegas of the world that were supposed to fight down there, other fighters, you know, they choose to back out. They'd rather skip the card and go to the Boston card and do that. I chose to go down there for a different experience. Me and Bisping had a great talk the night before. Was that I was having an amazing time down there. I had an amazing experience. I met great people that treated me with open arms, and I still feel that way, and I'll always take that with me. And like I said, I'll go back down to Mexico and fight this kid if that's the way they want to be. So it doesn't bother me, and I enjoy Mexico. I love Mexico. It's an amazing time, amazing experience, and I'll take the good with me.
Well, you know,
yeah. Sorry, Mike. Lewis. So that's what we were talking about. For me, that's one of the cool things about being a professional fighter. You get to go to these other countries, you know, to submerge yourself into their culture, you know, and you go out there and you fight in this amazing sport. So it's an amazing thing. So you have no animosity towards the Mexican people. Obviously, they showered you with beer afterwards. They showered me with beer as well, if it makes you feel any fucking better. You know, but you
love beer.
Yep. Well, exactly. There's worse things to get covered in. After the fight, Yair Rodriguez, he had a little pop at me. He called me a bitch and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I need you to go out there and defend my honor. I have no idea, but he wasn't a fan of me on the night.
He's a baby, man. You know, I hear about this kid. You know, he's like an entitled kid. You know, I would have loved to whoop this kid's ass. You know, that's what I'm saying. Run it back, you know. The other day when he tried to come up, and I thought he was trying to be cordial, and then he goes to talk shit, but then he gets shoved. He did not even take one step forward. His sister was recording the video. I hope she captured all of it. And I haven't seen that video released because he ran into a real fucking man. You know, I was cool. I thought maybe you're going to, hey, sorry about that. It was an accident. Let's run it back. No problem. I have no problem. But listen, I'm here for a win. I'm here to compete. Whether that's in the street or whatever, you're going to come at me like that, bro. I'm the wrong motherfucker to be coming up to. So as soon as he got shoved, him and his whole family just were soft. They didn't say nothing. He just wanted to talk shit about my eye. I'm like, bro, you're the one who poked me in the eye. You know, like, I have nothing to prove to you. I have nothing to prove to nobody. Either we run it back or you shut up and get the hell out of my way. I'll beat you to the top.
I mean, talk to me a little bit about that you know, final experience in the cage. People are throwing stuff. Was it at all scary or you know, were you just sort of like, whatever, this is stupid?
I was just more like, I can't see. You know, if I would have knocked him out, it would have been the same thing. You know, it might have been even worse because, you know, I'm the type of guy who jumps over the cage and likes to go celebrate and drink beer with my family. Maybe they would have attacked me and my family and things could have been worse. Who knows? You know, I just couldn't see, you know, and if I could see and they were attacking me, I would have smacked them like I would have smacked anybody else. You know, you touch me or you threaten me, I'm going to lash back at you. So it probably saved a few people from a few sore jaws anyway. I mean, is what it is. Oh, there's nothing I can do about that. I embrace that type of shit. Like I said, I love beer. So,
yeah. And to be honest with you, it's a moment where people are honestly, it sucked. The eye poke happened no matter what, but sort of that sort of created a moment that people were talking about. It created sort of a memorable moment, and it did make me sort of get excited for the rematch, ideally.
Yeah, it's like a check raise, like my buddy just said. You know, now we get to do it on American soil. Now you get to come over here. And you think the American fans are going to like that you treated me down there like that with disclass and disrespect. Now you get to come back over here in America and do it in the three greatest states in America, Boston, MSG in New York, or D.C. Those are the top three American states. So my money and stock's going to rise. You know, either show up and perform like the way that you think that you perform or you say that you want to fight me. I'm putting my money that he runs off and into the sunset, you know, because this kid's backed out of fights and been cut. You know, I never had to do that. I've fought over 50 times, and this is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. So we can either run it back or, like I said, get out of my way. I'm moving forward to those three cards and looking forward to putting the hurt on somebody.
Your eye, Jeremy. So I was saying on the night, more than likely, a scratched cornea. So you'd probably be back in there in a couple of weeks. But you went and got it checked out. What is the final word from the doctors?
Yeah, you just said it right there. It's a scratched cornea. My eye was it was like super glitching in the fight. You know, the doc's like, tell your eye to relax. I'm like, yeah, sure, Skip. I'm trying to do that here and move on. But it's just I have two scratches on both my eyes. My right eye was scratched. My left eye is scratched, but my left eye is definitely the more painful one. And that's what it is. I'm actually going to go later today and get this checked out and get cleared. This is why I came back to America. And I'm looking to go back with good news and report to Sean and Dana and say, hey, I'm cleared. I'm good to go. It's just a little freak accident, nothing major. So we're ready to move on.
Yeah, no, I've been there. I've had a scratched cornea. It's a very, very annoying thing. Every time you blink, every time you move your fucking eye, it's very painful. I got to say this. Did you notice on the night, Herb Dean, I got to say, fair play to Herb. He was trying to do everything he could to keep that fight alive. You know what I mean? He was like, no, you got 5 minutes. Take some time. He was giving you the 5 minutes before he even brought the doctor in. And as I say, I mean, of course, nobody, I know, you wouldn't want to go out in that fashion, right? No fighter wants to do that. No true fighter wants the fight to be stopped. But Herb Dean was doing everything he could. I mean, did you feel that on the night?
Yeah, Herb Dean did an incredible job. I just told him, I was like, man, he got me good. You know, I could feel it, you know, as in pain in my eye. It just wasn't relaxing. It just kept, like, in the corner as a spot. And then, like, down the bottom, it's just going, like, you know, like, bop, 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 bop. And he just did good. He's like, take your time, get some water here. You know, he's letting me rub it out. And you know, he did a phenomenal job. Herb's been in there and ref me millions of times. He knows what type it is. And it's a main event fight, man. You know, people paid their hard-earned money, especially people down in Mexico, to see this. Like, I get it. I get why you reacted like that. You know, I'd have been pissed, too. I'd have been probably throwing my beer in pesos as well. So I don't judge him. That Herb did a great job. UFC security, my coach, they did a phenomenal job because I heard there were some people who got attacked and got some punches thrown at them. So all in all, UFC, the security, everybody did good, man. It's just a bad night. You know, chalk it up on the board and move on.
So have you actually spoken with Dana or Shelby or anyone like that about a potential date? Because for me, I think the best thing, because obviously you've both prepared, right? You're both in shape. You just did 6 weeks in Mexico. Yair's done his camp. If you do it quickly, you know, there can be a positive here. If you do it quickly, throw you on another card real soon, take a week or two off, and then just you know, do your last few weeks of camp again, because you've done all the hard work, all the prep work. Yeah. And then if you try and look at a positive, you get two fights for the price of one training camp almost. You know what I mean? So have they given you any potential dates?
For sure. No, they haven't given me any dates. That's why I'm saying I'm going to the doctor today. Just get it out of the way. And this is like a check raise. You know, there's more history. Now there's more money. And then he's coming over here to the States. So there's more history on this. There's a chance to make even more money. And we'll see. You know, we'll see if this kid really wants it. You know, I'm good to go. So I'm going to call Dana and Sean when I'm 100% sure after I get my eye check today. And once I get the clear, that's when I'm going to call them up and say, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I'm, you know, here's the medicals, all is well, and let's move forward. And like you said, man, there's going to be more anticipation. We already went into camp. You know, both sides spent money, not just me. His camp invested too. I get that. I can say those coaches, you know, they missed out on their family times as well. Let's make this right. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to the States and run it.
Let's say Yair doesn't want this fight for whatever reason. Is there anybody else in the top 10 of featherweight that you have your eyes on?
Yeah, Brian Ortega. The guy's ducked out of 4 or 5 fights with me. I heard he was there calling me a poot, though. But, yeah, he's the one who backed out of a fight with me there in Mexico City. We could have been the main event. So for him to call me a bitch, you know, come on, who's the real bitch? These are facts that I'm stating. You know, I get it. He's been cage side where I've knocked guys out. So, you know, we can run it back. Korean Zombie, you know, any of them top guys, you know, an American, a Mexican, a Dominican, Republican, anybody can get.
It sounds like the beginning of a joke.
It really does. It really does. Go ahead, Lewis.
Well, yeah. Listen, we're very excited to watch you get back in there, and we do wish you the best of luck. You know, the some big fights obviously happening. MSG is coming up at the end of the year, so I would love to see that happen. I'm a New Yorker as well, and I know Bisping's going to be out here during that time as well. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think we could basically let you go unless you have anything else to ask, Mike. It's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, Jeremy, not kissing your ass, anything like that. You're a fighter's fighter. You always bring the excitement. You're always fun to watch. You've been around forever. It's fucking inspirational watching you in there after all this time. I know, obviously, the belt is the one thing that's eluded you. You've had a tremendous career, many main events, fought a who's who of mixed martial arts. I know you won that belt. I know you fought Max Holloway before, but is that what's truly motivating you right now, a rematch with Max Holloway?
Yeah, just getting better. You know, like I said when we were in that interview, you know, these guys just, like you mentioned, they're weaseling out these little decisions, you know, and I'm putting in work to make sure that I collect that data and that I work on that data and I get better and I can capitalize on these little split decisions. You know, the fact that they're giving me these main events in 5 rounds, it just goes to prove that I'm worth championship status. I made championship weight 145 pounds. I'm a performer. I'm a multiple bonus winner. I'm a knockout artist. You know, I'm a fighter's fighter. I'm that dude that, like, people like to tune in and watch fight, you know, and I love to perform personally. So, you know, it's just a weird, weird freak night, but I'm moving forward. I had a great, tremendous camp. I'm in the most amazing shape at 33 years old and getting better in my career. There's only one thing to do. That's get cleared and move forward and move forward fast. Cause, you know, I didn't waste a lot of time and money for nothing. I'm not missing out on a honeymoon. I could be getting some buns right now in the hotel like we talked about. But I'm back here in America trying to make things happen, man. And I promise you guys I will be back. And hopefully it's on a big card coming soon.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, rest up. Get the eye better. Go and have a few tequilas, a few Guinnesses in Dublin, whatever you want to do. Get your buns. Do you, buddy. And I look forward to the return. Thanks for joining us today. And all the best, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Later, bro. Take care.
Future legend, Jeremy Stevens. Nice guy, too. Positive attitude, considering the fact that he's, you know, lost out on a lot there. I mean, it's hard to smile when, just like that, your win bonus is taken away, possibly a performance. Jeremy Stevens is a performance of the night winner. That guy wins those bonuses. So to have, you know, the potential taken away, you know, he has a pretty positive spirit overall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, I mean, fair play to the guy. I mean, that sucks. To go do 6 weeks of training camp, that's the hard part. The fight is almost the easy part. The fight's where you go out there, you get paid, you got the crowd cheering or maybe booing or throwing beer on you, whichever one it is. But still, that energy, it feels good. Then, of course, you get your paycheck. You know, I think he's on like $300K a fight, so that's not bad. Then he normally gets a bonus as well. And plus, you've succeeded in your mission. If he had won that fight, he's that bit closer to his ultimate goal, fighting for the title, you know, and all of that was taken away. Now, it hasn't gone away completely. It's only temporary. They're going to do the rematch pretty soon down the line.
I think they will, too.
And we get to see that fight. Yeah, they got to do it. They got to do it because...
Yeah, as much as, you know, Yair's talking shit about not wanting to do it, about Jeremy being less than him in the rankings, it's kind of bullshit. It's like the fight was supposed to happen. You took the fight. It was a freak accident. Anybody saying that Jeremy Stephens, who fights fucking wars. Anybody saying that he's pulling out of a fight after 15 seconds after getting poked in the eye because he doesn't want it, that's psychotic. That's just a crazy thing. They don't know fighting. They've never spoken to a fighter, and they don't understand what it takes to kind of get to that level.
So I haven't seen this because I've been busy all morning doing some things.
Paulo Costa.
But Yair Rodriguez has come out, though, and said that he doesn't want to fight Jeremy again. They don't want to run it back. Is that what he said?
Because he was less than him in the rankings to begin with, he doesn't really want to do it. Then Paulo Costa came out and said, let me look for this actual quote, Harrington. What'd you do with that? He said he was shameful and he should not be allowed in the UFC, which is like, dude, chill the fuck out. Like, I mean, obviously, it was an accidental eye poke. Obviously, he's furious that he can't continue. The doctors are stopping it. I don't understand. Even a fan who's never been in there, a fan who doesn't know fighters personally, who's not very close to sport, I understand maybe being annoyed, but other fighters that come out, I feel like it's kind of a shitty thing. I feel like they're throwing one of their own under the bus because it could happen to any of you guys.
Yeah, that's it's very, very odd, for want of a better word, for fighters to be coming out talking shit about Jeremy Stephens. I was there ringside, right? Jeremy Stephens was about 4 feet away from me, leaning into the octagon with his hands on the top, right? And his eye was spasming uncontrollably. You can't do that. Hold on, let me try. I'm trying to do it right now. He wasn't doing that. His eye was spasming because every time your eyelid touches the scratch, it causes it, you know, to react.
Yeah.
So that's why his eye was spasming like that. He wasn't doing it on purpose. And for any fighter to come out and say that, I mean, shame on those guys, really. I mean, God forbid this was to ever happen to them. I mean, fortunately, it happened right at the start of the fight, because if it had happened 2/3 of the way through, they would have gone to the judges' scorecards, which could have been a nightmare. You know, maybe Jeremy could have got a late knockout. Maybe
is that the standard?
I'm not sure. There's a cutoff point. I'm not sure exactly where it is. When it gets past the halfway mark of the fight, something like that. If an injury happens, then they go to the scorecards. But that didn't happen. It happened right at the start, right? The only logical thing is to run the fight back. For any fighter to say that, I just hope that the same thing doesn't happen to them, right? Jesus, I've had multiple detached retinas. I've had glaucoma. I've had a lot of issues. You know, a lot of fighters, they're running the risk every time they step in there. They really are. And for those guys to come out there and say that, I mean, they're tempting fate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They should not throw in Jeremy under the bus like that. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, if anything shameful, I feel like it's that, you know? There's been, a few... It's almost like, whatever, it's just sort of... It's an unnecessary, don't even comment. You don't have to, even if you feel as if like, oh, you know what, he should have tried to continue on. Why comment? What's the point? I feel like it comes off really bad on Paulo Costa for doing that. Was I the only one that wanted to correct Jeremy when he said, hey man, I just want to fight in the three best states in the country? That's New York, DC, and what was the third one that wasn't a state?
Well, Boston.
Boston, yeah, Boston's another city. And I'm sitting there, I was like, I'm not going to correct him.
Come on. You're not exactly a geography master yourself. You know what I mean? I think we've talked about things and I said, that's not a country, you know, or you called Europe a country or something like that.
No.
You know, give the man a pass on his geography. Okay.
It was Ibiza.
The guy just had his eye. He's had his eyeball torn out. He's been soaked in alcohol. Okay. He's got peers, fellow fighters ridiculing him, throwing him under a bus. I'm sorry if you didn't get the great states of America correct on this occasion.
Oh, well, God forbid, if he didn't get the Commonwealths or the I don't even know what they call them in England, the townships or
he starts getting things wrong about the motherland, he can go fuck himself. In fact, just the very thought of that, redact that entire interview, okay? We're not playing the interview. There's a possibility he doesn't know every member of the Commonwealth, so that's gone. All right, let's just take a quick second to hear from BlueChew.com. If you like sex, you're going to like BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. I mean, come on. Wouldn't you like to go a few extra rounds? At BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Chewables can work faster than pills and up to twice as fast. Also, the chewables from Blue Chew can be taken on a full or an empty stomach. Online physician consult is free, so it's cheaper than the other two, Viagra and Cialis. And it only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quick. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, Lewis.
I know. That's literally the best part of all of it is you don't have to go and go to a doctor's office to honestly just have better sex. It's a weird conversation to have because you don't have to have some sort of erectile dysfunction. You don't have to be an old man who can't get it up. This makes sex better for everybody. All my friends that use Blue Chew, I use Blue Chew regularly. It really does change the game. I enjoy sex so much more than I used to. And we give a pretty amazing offer as well. We can actually give you a free trial. Free trial if you go to BlueChew.com. That is BlueChew.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE. Just pay $5 shipping.
Free sexual trial.
Free sexual trial.
Wow. You just got to go to the BlueChew.com. You get a free sexual experience with Harrington.
Basically, you get a free boner. You get to try it out on Harrington for just $5 shipping. That's it. We ship Harrington to you. It's crazy. He pops out of a cake.
He's not very busy. He'll do anything to be on the podcast. Yeah. So listen, once again, go to BlueChew.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE. And yeah, knock yourself out, boys. Enjoy yourself. Where were we? Also, my partner in crime, Brendan Fitzgerald, is taking the time out of his day to join the Believe You Me podcast. So, yeah, without further ado, we don't want to keep him waiting. Brendan, all right, welcome to Believe You Me. Listen, Brendan, I know you've had an amazing career. You're a big-time announcer. You are the man. You are super professional. But let me tell you right now, this is as good as it gets. You have made it, doggy. You are on the show of all shows with myself.
That's
and the
right.
Great Lewis J. Colvin.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for reaching out, Count. Always happy to talk to you guys.
No, my pleasure, buddy. So, I mean, we'll get right into it. I mean, number one, of course, great working with you, buddy. Really is. You're a true professional, a great guy, so it's nice working with you. We're going to get to the events of the weekend. Let's talk about that because that's the big thing right now. Obviously, we all know what happened. Main event ended, and then it all kicked off. Talk us through your perspective because I got to say, right, even though I was busting your balls a little bit on Saturday when you went under the desk,
yeah,
that was like true professionalism, right? The arena's going crazy. And because I got a little sidetracked. I mean, I'm new to this. I'm not the commentatable commentators, you know what I mean? So I'm like looking around at the crowd.
I'm new to sitting in a huge I'm new to sitting in a huge arena and having beer being thrown down. I've been at hockey games when I was growing up and a bad call or a bad goal or whatever, beer cups come coming down in Boston. Like I've seen it, but I haven't been at the bottom of it, you know, like in the middle of it. So that was a first for me. So I just kind of reacted.
Were you legitimately afraid? Because we saw you under and Bisping, an asshole of a coworker to take his cell phone out as you're fearing for your life. He's videotaping you and mocking you. You being as professional as possible, you keep the broadcast going, you don't break. But were you legitimately afraid for your life, or you were just sort of taking the precautions?
No. So, you know, there was a very small part of my brain like you don't know what they're gonna throw. You know, you got a bunch of angry people in there, and who knows what they're going to throw. They could throw a phone. They could throw a shoe. Beer cups are not inherently dangerous. Now, I also did not feel like getting covered with beer. I just didn't feel like it, right? So I didn't want that. But
you have a different perspective on life than Michael Bisping.
Yeah, he's shadow boxing there, which is hilarious when I watched it back. And the Niner, who's next to me, our stage manager, puts up his chair like he's in the foxhole right with me. Really, you know, what I was thinking about today and comparing is like, I knew the broadcast was going to stay on. Like, we're not going to go to break in that situation. There's stuff that's developing. So the broadcast is going to stay on. So if you're going to try to describe a water balloon fight, best not to be in the water balloon fight. So I was just like, I got a table right here. I'm not scared, but I'm just going to sit under it. And then I looked up at the monitor in the corner of the arena, and I could see kind of what the cameras were showing. And now that's not always exactly what our TV broadcast looks like, but I figured it kind of was. I knew that we were either on a wide shot or Yair was still in the octagon. So when they started cheering, I saw in the monitor that Yair was kind of sitting on the octagon and saluting the crowd. So I could like describe what was happening in the arena while also like taking cover and not kind of looking over my shoulder, or if I got a cold splash of beer or water or something on me, I would have been like thrown off. So the best part for the best way for me to just describe the action was to kind of like get a little spot where I could see and just keep kind of calmly talking through the situation until it subsided. And we got the official no contest decision.
Well, when you put it like that, Brendan, that sounds totally logical. You know, it really does. But for me at the time, you're like, let's get under the desk, Mike. And I'm like, hold on. I feel like by going under the desk, I'm going to get dirtier than a bit of beer splashing on me. I mean, I'll be honest. It wasn't that I was trying to be some tough guy and I was going to fight all comers. I'm like, that floor is disgusting, right? I've been spitting there all night. I spilled a couple of drinks. I'm like, I think I'll take my chance of standing up. Brendan.
Yeah, you know,
at the top of go ahead. Sorry, pardon me.
No.
I was just going to say, at the start of the interview, you had a little adornment, a little something around your neck, which we don't see right now, Brendan. I mean, number one, right here, look at this. Here he is.
It's never far from
jiu-jitsu white belt, a true master of the arts. I mean, congratulations. Welcome to the club.
I need some stripes on this. Means I need to go back to class. As you said, I bought one, so I'm a white belt. That's all you need to do. You need to buy a gi and you can officially join the prestigious ranks. But you know, the thing is, I like doing it. I've loved watching it and I like doing it. And man, even after just one class, I understand so much more. Like, I understand being on the bottom and just grabbing a leg and by all means just trying to not to tap out, because obviously when you're new, you can't submit anybody. I don't know offensively what to do, but defensively I know to just try to fight hands or survive or grab a leg. If I grab this leg from the bottom, they can't sweep around and take my back. So it's a good workout. It's fun. Got out alive, and I'm heading back this week.
And did you start training specifically to give you more knowledge while you were calling the fights?
Yeah, like I knew, I mean, I like to work out, and, you know, I did some Muay Thai classes last summer for a little bit, and I like that too. And then I can use the UFC Performance Institute since I'm an employee, but early in the morning. So I'll go in there sometimes and I'll hit a Thai bag and kind of do some boxing and that sort of stuff just for a workout. But like to really progress and learn more about it and really be able to speak more to the sport, let me get in there with others and train or be coached or just do it a little bit. You know, like I don't have any grand aspirations, but again, good workout, enjoy doing it, understand a lot just from one class. So I'm going to keep going back.
I got to say, Ben, it's very commendable because you're right. I mean, once you start doing it, number one, you do enjoy it. It is a good workout. You do learn self-defense, but obviously you're also a UFC broadcaster as well. So to understand it more is very beneficial. Now, I do want to say, you do realize that the man that you're speaking to right here, he is also, well, I mean, I don't know if he'd say he's a white belt, but he's definitely a beginner, but he's an undefeated mixed martial artist. I'm sensing a matchup here somewhere down the line.
Brendan, I will beat you within an inch of your life. I'm not afraid of you. I will spank you with your own white belt. But that's not what I'm here for, Bisping. Stop trying to goad me into being an asshole to Brendan right now, okay? He knows exactly what to do. Here's what
he
I'm
knows
saying.
How to rile it up.
This is the truth, okay? Because he's talking shit about me. But right now, Brendan, physically, you are on the incline. Michael Bisping, deep, 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 deep decline. I'm talking about falling from grace like you wouldn't believe. There's going to be a moment in history where you guys cross paths and you can physically take him. That's going to happen at one point. How soon do you think in your training do you think you're going to be able to beat up your co-broadcasting partner, Michael Bisping?
Well, we're working together in Tampa next month. So...
Hey, Brendan, hey, that only gives you a few weeks, buddy. That's 3 weeks.
I've been in the same room with Bisping without his shirt on. That day is not close.
Whoa, and I want to hear that story.
Bisping is still in shape. Well, you know, you've been back. We don't walk to the arena in our suits all the time, so you change your shirt, whatever. So the guy's still in shape, and he's about, what, 215?
Ish, but I am on a steep decline. I've got to have knee surgery soon. You know, I mean, listen, I mean, Lewis, here's where Lewis is at, Brendan. Lewis wants to challenge me, wants to film it for the podcast, but I have to tie my hands behind my back. Okay, that's the kind of type of handicap that Lewis is giving me. So that's what you're up against there. Lewis wants to challenge you, but he's a pussy, let's be honest.
Yeah. I'm shooting for John Gooden because he's a jiu-jitsu guy too, and he definitely has technique on me, but I have probably 30 pounds on him. So, you know, maybe that's the matchup that we make.
That's the way to do it as well. Pick on the little guys. I love it. And, hey, we're going to get John Gooden on, and we're going to stir the pot with that. But listen, Brendan, thanks for joining us, buddy. Well, I know you're busy, man.
One more question. Is that all right? Ahead, it's a two-parter. Okay, Brendan. Number one, what is your favorite thing about working with Michael Bisping? And the second part, what is your least favorite thing about working with Michael Bisping? And there's an answer. There's an answer to both these.
Oh, man. So favorite part, man, when like he is improved by leaps and bounds since the beginning. Not that he needed much improvement because he's been doing a lot of broadcasting, but from calling the fights just from February to now, he could be as good as it gets in terms of the sport. He's a blast. He's the perfect mix, kind of like DC, of analysis, knows what he's talking about, but personality you can't deny. So and prepared as
but,
that. You know, learn how to.
But
how to
I'm waiting for the but.
I don't know. I don't. I figured it out with you, Bisping. You just have to, you know, say I'm not gonna have a tequila shot tonight. I don't care how many you order. I don't want one because others who've tried to keep up have failed, and I've been witness to it. And so I don't walk down
Brendan?
That road. So that's
Brendan. You're talking untruths. The people of the believers. That's what our crew are called. The believers. Okay. Know I don't drink anymore, Brendan. This is well documented.
I'll say
this. Apparently, I don't drink.
Did not see him have a sip of any alcohol the whole weekend.
That's true. Until after the fight.
Well, you were hiding under the desk, so.
That's true. I was under the desk.
You started chugging tequila as soon as you went under the desk.
And then when I went back to the hotel, I sat under the table.
Yeah, it's true. What if that's just Brendan's personality? He just does everything under a table. You go to his home, he's like eating dinner under a table.
No. I drank him under a table. Boom.
There you go.
All right, awesome. Listen, Brendan, thanks for joining us, buddy. Pleasure working with you. Everyone, give him a follow on Instagram, Twitter. What's your Instagram, Brendan?
It's Brendan Fitz TV. Twitter and Instagram, same thing. Brendan Fitz TV.
Give him a follow. Thanks for joining us, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. I'll
see you in Tampa.
Weeks. Yes, indeed.
All right, mate. Take care.
Very cool. Brendan Fitzgerald. Very nice guy. Very good
great
sport
guy.
Too. Good sport. Some guys you get a vibe where you could bust their balls. Jeremy Stevens was not a guy that I was. I'm not going to bust his balls. Brendan Fitzgerald, he just rolls with the punches.
As I told you, he's a great guy. He's a very, very smart guy, nice guy. I mean, there's nothing negative you can say about the man. He's just a really good fucking human being. I mean, me on the flip side, I'm a total asshole, okay? You can say a lot of great things. And also, as I said to Brendan, I was waiting for the but, right? Because I let myself down at times. I'm a flawed human, you know what I mean? I do make mistakes. Brendan, he's as polished in real life as he is as a TV presenter. He'll have one drink very sensibly and then go to bed, you know, whereas I'll have one drink and that turns into 100. I'm like, fuck, I've done it again. But the next day, Brendan's there, he's running, he's stretched, he's been in the steam room, he's looking $1 million. You know what I mean? I'm like, I fucking hate you right now.
Well, listen, I'll tell you right now, you know, he's awesome, man. And you are doing a great job. Everyone keeps on saying that every time you do one of these broadcasts, the rave reviews that you get, you know, I'm very impressed with. So congratulations on all that. And what are we going to get into now? I mean, not a bunch in the world. If we want to, we are doing a second show this week for sure. I know we didn't get a second one in last week. It is what it is. Sometimes that happens. But I want to talk about the Diaz-Masvidal presser. But even before we get into that, let's just say if you're in LA, I'm going to be in LA next week. Me and Bisping, October 7th at the Comedy Store, Kill Tony Live. So if you guys want to see the Believe in Me podcast, you know, live and in person, us talking some shit and telling some jokes, we will be with Tony Hinchcliffe, Brian Redband, and the entire Kill Tony crew at the Comedy Store on the 7th, 8 p.m. It's going to be a fun night. And I'm going to make Michael Bisping break his no drinking rule that night because I'm going to get him nice and loosened up. You're going to get Michael Bisping, the old Michael Bisping.
I mean, listen, when you say that, it sounds like fun, but it scares me. It scares me. The old Michael Bisping is not a man to be trifled with. You know, I put that guy to bed. That man is dead. He's dead and buried. You know, He's somewhere down in Mexico. You don't. He got taken out by the cartel. There's the only people that could do it. But yeah, next week should be a lot of fun. I'll tell you what we didn't talk about. We were going to talk about it last week, but there was that big press conference last week for the BMF belt. Diaz versus Masvidal. What do you think of that, Lewis? What was your overall impression?
Yeah, I want to hear these guys talk more shit on each other, but I think we've discussed it before. They're not going to. I thought that they might get into it just because there's such... Diaz and Masvidal both have this thing about them where I feel like they have to almost make themselves not like their opponent. I feel like you have that about you as well. Maybe it's a certain type of fighter. Maybe it's that you know, the guys that maybe grew up getting into street fights, I guess if there's a line drawn between... If there is a line drawn between the fighter... The real fighters versus sort of the athletes. I know there's like a Venn diagram there and there's a lot that are both, but I think a lot of those guys that you see that you would consider like, you know, a little bit more of the fighters,
yeah.
They get themselves emotional. They seem to get themselves like worked up and they, you know, so I'm hoping that as we get closer to the fight, we're going to see these guys take more shots at each other, get a little bit more personal, get a little bit more emotional because they're obviously going to have a great fight no matter what, but what else can we add to it to sort of get ourselves more and more excited?
Well, I do believe I said when we first spoke about it, I said, we're not going to see any trash talk from these two because number one, the fight does sell itself and they do respect one another because, you know, they don't need to puff their chests out. They don't need to talk a lot of smack to let the other guy know, hey, listen, I'm a badass and I'm coming for you. They both know that they're badasses. They both know that they're both going to bring it. They both know that they've got a tough opponent in front of one another. So they don't need to go out there and kind of make a fool out of themselves and just start throwing swear words out there for the sake of it. You know, as I said, the fight sells itself. Now, if you're a fan, yeah, it's a little disappointing, you know, because all those people went out there. There was a massive turnout in New York and, you know, people like it. You know, regardless of what you want to say, it is interesting. It does get clicks. It does get hits. It does get viewers when two people start talking shit and going back and forth. You know, it's fun and it does hype the fight. But I knew that wasn't going to happen, you know, and it was short and sweet. I think it did the job. Dana said they're having a $50,000 belt made. So a little bit jealous that that wasn't floating around when I was fighting because I'll tell you right now, I'm the baddest motherfucker in the UFC. So fuck all of them. Okay.
Is it going to look like a regular UFC belt or is it going to be a completely different design?
I hope so. I hope it's different. I mean, I don't know. I have no info on that. If it was just the same with BMF, I think that'd be a little disappointing. Or who knows? I mean, it sounds cool as hell. But to see a completely new design, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I like it. It's very reminiscent of like the old school WWF days where they would have like the hardcore title. And it's just like a shitty title with barbed wire wrapped around it. It's like, fuck yeah, dude. This is great. I love it. I usually would shit on the UFC for throwing a belt on a non-title fight. I do it all the time when they do it with the interim fights, but this is at least fun and unique. And it's like, you know, it's definitely just for the fans. It's just for the people that know what's going on. I don't think they're doing it for marketing purposes.
Yeah. So I've got two opinions on this and I've changed my mind to basically what you just said. A little part of me does think, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that said this. A little part of me thinks, oh man, if I was the champion and they were in my weight division, they're undermining my belt, but they're not. They're not undermining it. They're making it a fun fight. They're adding a fun gimmick to an already awesome matchup. You know, Diaz said that thing, right? He said, I'm the baddest mother effer in the game. And he called out Diaz. So, you know, it just kind of organically happened. And as you said, I think it's a treat for the fans. It's cool for me, Diaz and Masvidal, because if that's a one-off, right? Dana already said it's going to be worth $50,000. If that's a one-off belt, the one that's only ever made, that thing is going to be more treasured than any UFC belt ever made. You know what I mean? Because there's only one of those. So number one, that's really cool. Secondly, I think we're going to see that defended here and there. Do you know what I mean? Because if the winner fights again, then the BMF belt has to be on the line. It's just a little bit annoying that it stays in the 170 division. But
I respect the BMF belt more than I respect the 170-pound title. Look, Usman doesn't want to fight this guy, and Woodley doesn't want to fight this guy. And that whole, whatever's going on with those guys, you know, I guess they said they offered Colby both Usman and Woodley and they turned them to both down. So I guess it is Colby, which I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Apparently Colby behind the scenes is a really nice guy. That's what a lot of people tell me that know him. He's like a really, really good dude. He's not actually a shitty guy at all. He's just sort of trolling people. But the fact that he's not taking these big, massive fights that are being offered, or did Usman turn down Colby or did Colby turn down Usman? I'm sorry. Harrington.
Turn down Usman. So Dana said Colby turned down Usman, and they also offered and Colby Woodley. Tyron, and he turned him down as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with that. And I mean, if you're Colby, how are you turning down a title fight against Usman?
It's just insane. I mean, here's a man that's wanted a title shot forever, and he gets the title shot, says he wants more money. Now, listen, I get it. Everybody wants more money, right? But we are also under contract. Now, listen, on occasion, because, you know, I did it myself as well, so I can't throw too much, whatever. I can't talk too much shit because I did it myself. You always want to get more money, but you do sign a contract. So there's two sides to that. But if you win the belt, if you believe in yourself and you become the champion, then the money's going to come. The pay-per-view points are going to come with every single fight. So if you truly believe you're the baddest man on the planet in that weight class, then you should take the fight anyway. So he turns that down. Then they say, how about Tyron Woodley? All right, listen, already you're taking a backward step. If I was him at that point, I'd say, okay, well, hold on. Give me the Kamaru fight. I'll take the offer that you said. Because fighting Tyron Woodley, no easy fight for anybody. And if you lose that, you ain't even sniffing a title shot. And he probably would have got pay-per-view points on the title fight anyway. So this here is a big mistake for Colby Covington. He's playing the game all wrong, in my humble opinion. Maybe there's more things going on behind the scenes that I'm unaware of. I'm not privy to all the information. I don't have no relationship with Colby, and the UFC don't tell me things. It's none of my business. So maybe there's more to it. But from what we're led to believe, what we see in the news, it looks like Colby's making a massive mistake here.
Yeah. Other highlights from the press conference. I guess White said there's been 10,000 tickets that have already been sold in pre-sale. I mean, huge, massive, massive fight. And to be honest with you, those guys, Masvidal Diaz, no matter what way you slice it, you could put a triple threat match between Colby, Tyron, and Usman. It's not selling more tickets than Diaz versus Masvidal right now. This fight, people are super, super excited about. And I'm really excited. I'm really annoyed because I'm actually not going to be able to be in New York. I keep on forgetting that I have to go to a goddamn wedding. When you fought at the Garden, I had to be on a boat with the Impractical Jokers. Now Sal Volcano's getting married the next time they're at the Garden, so I can't go to that now.
So what you're saying is basically anytime anybody from the Practical Jokers calls, you will drop everything to do with the Believe You Me podcast, to do with Gas Digital, Legion of Skanks, and go running because they have a show on TV and you'll do anything to make it. You will do anything to make it. You don't care who you piss off, who you let down. You will sell, I would say sell your own mother, but she's dead. So sorry about that. But you will do anything.
I'll sell her urn.
Do anything. Yeah, you'll take those ashes and throw them at the Impractical Jokers.
Hey, guys, you want to use the ashes for a bit? Yeah, obviously. I'm trying to sell out, baby boy. I'm trying to get over that next level. Simple as that.
Me and you both. People say sell out. I say, yeah, I fucking need to, man. I'm broke, okay? I'm selling out to the highest bidder. Simple as that. Call it what you will, baby boy. All right, so listen, I can't wait to see that fight. It's going to be fun. I don't know if I'm going to be there. If I'm not there, I'll make a point of being there, but you're going to be out of town anyway. So yeah,
I'll be in town. So we'll hang, we can do something on the Friday. We can do something on the Sunday. Maybe, you know what?
Maybe I come to the wedding as well.
Do you want to be my date to the wedding?
Are you inviting me as your plus one to the wedding? Wow. Doggy. Thanks, Lewis.
That'd be fucking dope. We just go as single bachelors.
Yeah. Okay. Just don't tell my wife and three kids.
No way. How would she possibly find out?
Are cell phones banned at the event?
Edit.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, edit that bit out. Okay.
All right, we got to wrap this one.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Bisping, you are the man. We will be back later on in the week. You know, I think Thursday morning you guys will get the next episode. And yeah, that's that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I hope you enjoyed the show. Big thanks to Brendan Fitzgerald and Jeremy Stevens. And as Lewis said, see you later in the week. Enjoy, guys. All the best.